And with your spirit,
John. Many of Jesus' disciples were listening, who were listening, said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? But if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before, it is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Now Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe, and the one who would ultimately betray him. And Jesus then said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of Jesus' disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied Jesus. He then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Of course, I can't remember where I read this, but I was reading some wisdom, if you can call it that, on the internet, the various kinds of ways of categorizing people into two groups. Those, for example, who live in the center of the world, and those who live outside of Brooklyn Center. You know, this splitting into two categories. There are those who do this and those who do that. Well, today we're going to explore a little bit about a category, those who believe and practice one thing and those who believe and practice something else. And it has everything to do with today's gospel. "Does this shock you?" says Jesus. Jesus, prior to this gospel passage, had been talking about some very difficult things to believe in. He had just taught his disciples that he is the bread that has come down from heaven. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, he had talked about, "Unless you eat of my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him." That was the gospel passage just prior to today's gospel passage in which the disciples were saying, this teaching is too difficult, too hard, which is another way of saying too hard to believe in. It's just too far out there. It's too hard to believe. Over my 22 plus years of seminary and diaconal and priestly ministry, that's right, I was in the seminary in my teens. Do the math. It doesn't work. Over my past 22 plus years of ministry, I have noted that there are two kinds of people. Two kinds of Christians, two kinds of Catholic Christians. Those who believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist upon the altar and received into our hands and consumed by us. And on the other hand, those people who believe that Christ's presence is within the body of Christ, the people of God. Those who believe that the real presence is in the Eucharist upon the altar, and those, on the other hand, who believe that the real presence is within the people of God, the Eucharistic people of God, the body of Christ, that is, the community of disciples. And I believe that in these two categories, these two ways of people regarding the real presence in the Eucharist, those who believe in one aspect of the real presence will disdain the perspective of the other side. For example, quite a number of Catholic Christians and Orthodox Christians and also Episcopalians will wholeheartedly grasp on to the teaching of Jesus, that hard teaching of Jesus, that the real presence is within the Eucharistic species. And the other stuff? Well, that's just crazy frou-frou, easy-peasy, lemon-squeezy type of thinking. That's all Latin, by the way. And those Christians, those Catholic Christians and Episcopalian Christians and Orthodox Christians who hold firmly to the notion that Christ's real presence is within the body of Christ, within the people of God, will disdain the notion of Christ's real presence in the Eucharist as being magical thinking. I've even heard some reference to or some usage of the term host worshipers. But insofar as the community is divided into these two extremes, the reality of ancient Christian teaching is that it's not an either or. The real presence is not an either or kind of spiritual practice. You're either a Catholic Christian who believes in the real presence, or you're a Catholic Christian who believes, real presence in the Eucharist upon the altar, and those others who believe that the real presence is found within the people of God as they assemble at Mass and as they do the work and ministry of Jesus. But ancient teaching, I mean, we're talking way before I was in the seminary, 1900 years ago. Ancient teaching has always been that it's not a both, it's not an either or situation, it's a both and. It's ancient Christian teaching that the real presence of Christ is found within the Eucharistic species coming from the altar, but also found within the body of Christ, us, the motley crew that we are. And that to be an authentic Catholic Christian, or Orthodox Christian, or Episcopalian Christian, is to believe in both understandings of the real presence. And in a way, that sort of both and understanding of the real presence, well, that's even harder for some people to believe. But it is our belief, and it's been our belief since the very beginning, from the very early years. Now, some of us might find ourselves varying or seesawing between kind of emphasizing the Eucharistic presence in the communion from the altar, and sometimes we'll find ourselves tipping over to the other side with an overemphasis on Christ being in the body of Christ, the people of God. And so I have homework for you. I have spiritual homework for you. Something for you to think about on the drive home, or maybe the drive to the restaurant where you're going to join others. Or maybe it's something that you can perhaps think about throughout the week. Ask yourself where you might tend to lean on those two understandings of the real presence. And where you're finding yourself sort of leaning a little bit more one way than the other, then for the next 7 days, or we'll put it this way, any day of the week that ends with Y, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to be more intentional about perceiving the real presence of Christ in that mode that you might tend to forget about, or maybe on occasion dismiss. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to balance out that either or understanding into a both and. And so if you have a devotion, an absolute devotion for the Eucharistic species of the precious body and blood that comes from the altar, then focus, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to see and perceive the real presence of Christ in others. Or if you're more emphasizing in your spirituality the real presence of Christ in others, ask for the Holy Spirit to help you to perceive the real presence in the communion that you will receive in just a few moments. And once you've achieved a little bit more balance, once you've gone from either or to both and, once you've achieved that balance of understanding, that ancient understanding, then get prepared for yet a third way of appreciating the real presence of the Word of God proclaimed. But that's future homework. For right now, ask your guardian angel, ask the Holy Spirit to show you where you tend to emphasize the real presence, and ask to be more intentional about perceiving that other balancing perspective of the real presence. That's your homework. And next week I'll ask you how it went. Please rise.